Welcome to another episode of Ask an Assistant, the show for executive assistants and the people that love us. I'm your host, Jess Lindgren. Let's get to work. This week's question comes from esteemed colleague, Kathy, who asks, do any of your companies encourage employees to volunteer? I'm trying to think of something creative to get people out and about this last full week of April for National Volunteer Week. We offer VTO hours to our staff, but it's still tough getting people out of their comfort zone. What do you do? Any ideas? First, Kathy, thank you so much for your question. Anyone listening is invited to ask their burning question at askanassistant.com now and always. And second, I love learning about new ways to engage employees and offer creative benefits. Let's just start with some background information on National Volunteer Week from scholarly journal Wikipedia, which informs us that National Volunteer Week is an annual celebration observed in many countries to promote and show appreciation for volunteerism and volunteering. It is held in the U.S. and Canada in mid to late April. In New Zealand and Australia, it's held in May. In the U.K., it's held in the first week of June. In Canada, National Volunteer Week was first conceived in 1943 as a way to celebrate the contribution made by women on the home front to the war effort. After World War II ended, National Volunteer Week declined in popularity until the 1960s, when it revived and eventually began gaining popularity in the United States as well. Many organizations host special events to help engage their local communities in volunteering and make them aware of opportunities that are available year-round. During the week, media outlets may feature volunteer activities in news reports. So, hopping off the Wikipedia train and back into my brain, I absolutely adore that this was originally conceived as a way to honor women, and I'm really glad to see it gaining popularity in more broad use cases. There are countless unsung heroes who help others in our community every day, and I absolutely think that that should be celebrated. If it's got to be a week every year where it's kind of pointed out and noticed, great. But hopefully with a little more awareness of this, we can start recognizing those folks every day and maybe even become those folks ourselves. A quick plug up top for a few organizations that I really like and actively support. Solidarity and Snacks, which is a mutual aid group founded in 2020 who does distributions of essential supplies to our Los Angeles neighbors in Skid Row and El Pueblo on a weekly basis. Cafe Sankofa Cooperative, whose mission is supporting Syracuse's South Side community in health, wellness, and access to culture. And Rough Start Rescue in Minnesota, whose mission is devoted to rescuing stray, neglected, abandoned, and surrendered animals in need since 2010. We actually adopted one of our cats from them in 2014. They were absolutely wonderful. They came to our house, did a site visit. This really nice woman evaluated, met our existing first kitty, decided that it would be a great environment for us to adopt a second cat. And they kept in touch every so often over the years. And we still love our floofy little boy. And he's now lived in three separate states, Minnesota, California, and New York. So very well traveled. And we love him and his furry little face very much. If you're interested, you can find links to all three of these organizations in the episode show notes, or search for an organization or cause in your area. If all of the activism of 2020 and beyond has taught me anything, hyper-local volunteering and financial support has an immediate impact in bettering your community. It's still great if you want to donate to something like Black Lives Matter, the Red Cross, Doctors Without Borders, Amnesty International, World Central Kitchen, anything like that. If you want to donate time, effort, money to any of those, it's still great. They still do really wonderful work. But when you find just those super hyper-local, the people that are in your neighborhood, those are the ways your dollars go further and faster. You know, then people aren't applying for aid and waiting. It's something that can have an immediate effect in helping someone pay their bills, stay in their home, make groceries for the week. Like, it goes so far. But do whatever it is that you can do. Find the organizations that you love and go from there. But a little derailed there, back to Kathy's question. In a past role, that I had as an office manager, volunteering was definitely something that they were trying to instill as part of the company culture. I took the time to talk with my fellow employees and leadership to find out what causes were near and dear to their hearts so that I could do some research, find the best initiatives to support. Volunteering not only is absolutely necessary and fantastic ways to better your community and yourself. It is also a resume booster if you're a young person. So that's something that like a college application might look at. That's something as you are potentially in the market for a new job. If you're between positions, if a company sees that you have active volunteer experience or years of doing a specific thing as a volunteer, that can definitely boost you up the line just a little bit. And it is what it is, but volunteering is also great PR for the company that you work at. It's something that you can take a photo of all of your employees wearing a company shirt and carrying the flag at a parade, or all of you together finishing a 5K, or everyone mingling together at whatever it is that your volunteering organization was. Definitely looks great for any kind of press releases, any kind of blog or newsletter updates, whether they're internal or external. Great team building exercises. So definitely a lot of benefits ranging from personal to professional in volunteering. And personally, I consider community service to be a privilege. I consider it to be something that we should all, and I really don't like using the word should. So I consider it to be something that I would really like everyone to consider adding into their routines, whether at home or in the workplace, as much as they can. I know community service, the term specifically, community service, kind of has a connotation of being a punishment, especially in the United States. It's something that we should all, that I would really like it for all of us to incorporate into our lives and take pride in. Because it just, like I said, it really benefits you as a person. It benefits your family, your friends, the immediate community around you, and the world at large. So do what you can when you can. But back to the role that I had as an office manager, finding some local initiatives to support as a company. Things that I've organized in the past include blood drives, preparing food at like a meal center, assembling personal hygiene kits, accepting donations for personal hygiene kits. You have to, if you're lucky enough to be working within an organization that already has supplies, you still do need people to sort through 1,000 bars of soap, 1,000 pairs of socks, and dole them out in such a way that everyone gets one or two or whatever the necessary number is of each individual item. But those supplies have to come from somewhere. So whether it's a supply drive or actually assembling the personal hygiene kits, I've had employees help out at a food bank. I've organized time for folks to go spend time at an animal shelter, and encouraging employees to spend time volunteering at schools, especially with their kids, their nieces, their nephews, or just the local school in their neighborhood. There's always, always, always going to be places that need an extra set of hands. Oftentimes, I did have to go above and beyond to incentivize participation, making sure that the activity was as close to the office as possible. I would organize a blood mobile in the office or at the office building, which actually was really great because then you could interact with fellow office building mates, if you will. We didn't own or occupy the entire building at the time. So there were definitely other companies that then we could spread the word and say, hey, we took the initiative to organize this blood drive. We would love you to participate. I would have to set up group transportation to the event, incentivize folks with an offsite happy hour afterward. You know, at the time, I really couldn't believe how hard it was to get participation and buy-in from folks. But thinking back on it today, I absolutely can believe how hard it was. My office was in Minnesota, corporate headquarters was in California, and it was a SaaS company, software as a service, that believed itself to be very much in startup mode, even though it was in existence for 10 plus years by the time I joined. This really meant long hours You'd often start your day early in Minnesota to coordinate with your room at home, getting your kids off to school if that was part of your day, taking your dog for a walk, feeding your cats before you leave, budgeting enough time to drive to the office, because it was definitely a company that prioritized in-person collaboration, if you will. And then it often involved working late to accommodate California and the other countries where we had offices. I haven't thought about this in almost 10 years, but at the time, I think we had offices in the UK, France. I am forgetting which countries in Asia we had, but we definitely had three distinct regions. So we had the US, not just the US, because all of Central and South America and Canada also fall within Pacific to Eastern time zones. I forget what that region was called, but it was the region that was based in the United States, and then Europe, and then APAC, so Asia Pacific was the third region. I'm really going to have to go back, because now that's really going to bug me to figure out what those three regions were called. But long story short, you start your day early in Minnesota, you work late. Sometimes there were folks who had meetings at 10 o'clock at night Central. You might have a 5 o'clock in the morning Central meeting, just depending on who you were meeting with and what their schedules might look like. It was definitely a lot of push and pull in terms of who had to take the turn getting up early or staying up late. But, you know, in addition to all of the spread that we had, there was a lot of travel, there was a lot of time spent in meetings. Lots of growth, both in terms of clients and employee headcount. I think during the year, maybe year and a half that I was there, we went from like 300 to 600 employees in 18 months. That's a lot of growth for a company. That's doubling your headcount. It's a lot. It's different when you've got two people and you double to four, but when you're going from 300 to 600 and counting, like hiring new people all day, every day, it's hard to take time off for a vacation, let alone for volunteering, when the company wants you to be going, 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 doing more, more, more all the time. Time, if you will. But thinking on it today, in order to get better employee buy-in, you might consider making it reasonably mandatory. An example that comes to mind is, I think it's Google that used to do this. I don't know if they still do or not, but they used to allow employees to dedicate either 4 or 8 hours a week to project time, like work on something that's not part of your day-to-day responsibilities. Make it kind of like that. You could go so far as to make it an every week kind of thing and just say, hey, every Wednesday, you need to spend 2 hours at your kid's school or at a neighborhood school, or, you know, you don't necessarily have to mandate what the volunteer activity has to be, but you could make it part of the not only company culture, but part of your company's routines. Just getting it into the bloodstream and letting people plan around it, it's definitely hard. Like, I spent a lot of time researching, setting up activities, getting verbal yeses from a lot of people. You know, so I might have like 20 people say yes, and then people just start dropping off as the event gets closer and closer. And then day of, maybe 2 or 4 show up, not including me. Sometimes that 2 or 4 did include me. So just to make sure you're not wasting your time, effort, and resources, because it's a lot of work. And then also the volunteer organization says, okay, well, XYZ company is bringing 20 people. That's 20 more people that we don't have to try and find to help out this week. You leave the organization in a lurch. You've just spent a lot of time and effort organizing and researching and making the event happen, only to have poor turnout. So just making it part of your culture, making it something that folks can plan around. If you're going to be generous enough to make it something that folks do every week, that's incredible. But you could even do like once or twice a month and just say, hey, every third Thursday or every first and third Thursday, we would really love it if you spent half of your day, whether that's the first half, the middle half, or the end half of your day, volunteering. That just builds it into something that you can then schedule meetings around. You can schedule your team planning needs around. You can schedule project management around. But when it's kind of one-off, ad hoc, you're always going to get folks who are sick, something happens, their kids have a day off, they burst a tire on the way to work. Like, you just never know. And obviously, even if you have it planned in, you know, baked into the company culture and schedule, there's still going to be hiccups that happen every so often. But I think if you really build it into something that happens regularly, that will make it a big, I think you'll build buy-in over time. You can also encourage folks to participate as a group or individually, whether you're going to be the person who takes the initiative to plan an event, or if you're going to use it as also kind of a team building thing at the same time. You could then, this has to come from the top. It all has to come from the CEO, the owner, the president, whoever it is that's at the top, and have them set the example and the expectation. So say, okay, VPs, directors, whoever it is that's in your org chart below, and just, again, build it into the company culture, into the DNA, and make it part of what you do. On top of all that, if participation is still low, you could try gamifying it a little bit. Verify your volunteer, like let's just say, for example, you can verify your volunteer hours and get X reward. Kind of like we used to do when we were kids, you sell X number of wreaths for Christmas every year, and then you get different kinds of rewards. As grown-ups, everyone likes a gift card, especially if it's to the local coffee shop. Nice office supplies. I love my red swingline stapler. I love my Pilot G2 pens. Those aren't always in the budget for everyone to have them, but maybe if you hit 10 volunteer hours a month, then you get a little bonus from the office manager's bonus closet or whatever it is. You could also consider a monetary donation to the cause from the company, employee match for that kind of thing. So say if you volunteer X number of hours or dollars, the company will match hours or dollars in whatever way that makes sense. So talk with your financial and HR folks to make sure that you're staying compliant, because that is an employee benefit. But on top of all that, ask your employees not only what causes that they want to support, but how the company can support them actually being able to use their volunteer time off. So those are my ideas, and I'd love to hear yours. Send your question to me at askanassistant.com. No question is too small, no problem too large that we can't find a creative solution. I firmly believe that the only stupid question is the one that you don't ask. Until next week, take care.